really felt tonight that we must just open our hearts to what the God wants to show us, or what He wants to tell us. It's such a pleasant atmosphere, but also what a privilege to be in God's presence and to be here. And even with the sermon series where we started out a couple of weeks ago with God, and that we can't put God in a box. We can't figure it out. Because that's what we want to do. We like to put something out there. We have God figured out. Something that we can understand. Something that we can worship. And then we feel good about it. Because we can figure it out. And then Jesus comes along and He's doing a few things. And maybe we can figure that out and we put it in our little box. And at the same time, we also want to be happy. We also want to have joy. So what do? We gather. We buy our stuff, our gadgets, our good things. Or maybe the women gather and the guys, they hunt and buy gadgets. And you feel safe. You feel, this is my safe place. This is my spot. I've got everything figured out. If I need something is not right, then I can just buy something. I'll get something to sort out this problem. It reminds me of a friend that he had a rattle in his car and he said, "Yaku, I'm going to sort out this rattle." The next day he had a different car. So it's almost like that. We just want to sort out our things. We want to sort out everything that's a problem. And we want to understand the whole story. We want to be happy. And it's so funny, I'm thinking about it all the time since last week, that we want to be happy. So we want to gather our stuff. We want to create our own space and protect our space. And we don't want anyone to inflict on our privacy. And at the same time, we're not going to the one, our Creator. We're not reaching out to the one that can really give us joy. So we try to get joy, but we're not going to the source of the joy. It's such a funny thing that we're doing. And last week in the small groups, when we talk about our testimonies, it was so refreshing just to think back about when we gave our hearts to the Lord. Or just think about these miracles, how God reached out to us, how God, for each one individually in a different way, it happened just differently. There's no method, there's no recipe. So unique. And that is what God is just coming in for each one. There's a unique way that He wants to reach out to us. To each one. A special, unique way. And also trust it tonight that you will, that we will experience something of that uniqueness, that love of God for each one of us. Where it's just not a recipe, something specific. And the picture that I had when I was preparing for the sermon was just where we can just come and we sit at a table. There's a table that God has prepared for us. Psalm 23 says, "I will prepare the table even in the presence of your enemies, in the presence of your problems, in the presence of your challenges." Doesn't matter what it is. There's a table prepared. And we will get back to this table. I just want you guys just to see yourself sitting there with the Lord and this conversation, this community. There's something happening there. At my home, we try to eat together, the three children and my wife and I, Gustav, Samuel, Lucy. So then we'll ask them, what's the best thing in your day? So Gustav loves running. So usually it is when we started running. Then I'll ask him, what is the worst thing of your day? He said, when we stopped running. And then we get to Samuel. I said, Samuel, what's the best thing of your day? And if that was a day where he played on the iPad, it's only specific days for that. It's a It's a big privilege. Zenny will say, Daddy, when I played on the iPad. And the worst thing is when I stopped playing on the iPad. We took the iPad, they were playing more on the iPad, but when they prayed every night, thank you God for iPad, then we'd know it's time to take iPad away. So, and then Lucy, at the moment, Lucy's best thing of the day, she'll just say, Daddy, poo, sweetie. Daddy, poo, sweetie. Because we're busy potty training her. She gets 3 sweeties if she make a poo in the toilet. A pee-pee is 1 sweetie. And it's one of those small packets. There's about 50 in that packet. I think it's R3.50. And she will just make sure that it's in the toilet because she wants that 1 sweetie. Then she will walk through the house and she will share that sweetie with anyone that wants to take a bite. Okay, that's a highlight, a sweetie. It's either 1 or 3. But I just remind that it's such a unique experience. And us sitting at the table, God is just chatting to each one of us tonight. And He is reaching out to each one of us and your highlights, your struggles, whatever we're going through, that's on the table. And that's what God wants to discuss. That's the conversation that's going on. And then, and the ultimate thing, God wants the best for us. That's what we must understand. In the midst of us that want to gather and want to have all our stuff and figure it all out. I'm just going to read for us out of Luke 12, where someone came to Jesus and said, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. I guess he was quite, he thought he's going to miss out on some money, and he's going to miss out maybe on some joy, some things. So he said, and Jesus said, but he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? He said to them, Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And he told him a parable, The land of a rich man produced plentiful. He thought to himself, What shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops? He said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I will store all my grains and my goods. I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax. Have a good time. Eat, drink, be merry. And God said to him, Fool, this night your soul is required of you and the things you have prepared. And it's just such a good example of this man who thought everything is now fine. Everything is going well. He's got it all sorted out. Everything is going to be good for many years to come. And in that night, everything changed. In that night, things was just different. And God said, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. I'll desire for joy, our desire to have a good life. And today, tonight, I just want to invite you, as we're going to discuss more about God and specifically about the Holy Spirit, I just trust that each one will just get a glimpse of how amazing God is, how amazing Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Because that's the only way for us to realize who we are is if we spend time with God. Because we are sons and daughters of God, created by the Almighty God. And maybe tonight you hear and you... it's actually just something that I've came up during the worship. It felt that there's some of us that we're having a great time and we between the people, but actually still very alone. You're still very alone. Even it's easy to come in here and just to put on a smile and to mingle with everyone. And you still walk out of here very alone. And tonight is your night where Jesus just want to connect with you. And say, hey, I didn't forget about you. You're precious. You're important. And that is at the table. That is where God is sitting at the table, fully aware of everything that's going on in our lives, fully aware of what we bring. So first, as you sit at the table, first Jesus came for us to give us life, to pay the price for our sins. And then also God said, or Jesus said to his disciples, when he went away, he said, listen guys, we had a great time. But now I'm going to go away, and it's actually going to be good that I'm going away. So now we must understand that Jesus was walking with these guys. They saw him. They saw him every day walking with them. If they had any questions, they can just ask him. It's not like which car or bike or thing is the best one to buy, which one is going to last the longest. I had many car troubles, man. I should have listened to the warnings. But there's so many questions, so many things that we want to know. So many things that we want to figure out. And the disciples was there walking with Jesus. They asked him questions. They were probing him all the time. They had the perfect example. And Jesus came and he said, nevertheless, in John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. I never understood how people can just go away. I had a best friend in grade 1 to grade 3, and then suddenly they just moved. It was heartbroken. Then another best friend, then they move in grade 7. I said, yes, when people are going away, it is bad. It's a bad experience. And Jesus is telling his disciples, which he spent a lot of time with, so I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And this Helper is the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. He will teach us all things. He will cause you to recall everything I have told you. And John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but wherever he hears, he will speak and will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, we can see, he's really the one that's our helper. He's really the one that's going to walk alongside us. And even if you look at the church in the Bible, there's so many examples of them partnering with the Holy Spirit. It was just so refreshing or just so good to see. Because we hear about the Holy Spirit and we try to figure out something about the Holy Spirit, or that's what I try to do. And then there's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we are afraid of that. You don't want to go there. It doesn't fit into our box. It's a little bit awkward. Not so comfortable. So then we rather leave it out. And we just continue to worship God and Jesus, because this other part, it doesn't fit. So we do all kinds of things. But if we look at the church, the early church, I'm just going to show a few scriptures on there. And let's see how they interacted with the Holy Spirit. How they almost partnered. How they worked together. They say, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Spirit? How is it that you've agreed together to test the Spirit? Acts 5, we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Acts 7, the Spirit told me to go with them. It's not like they're just going, the Spirit told me to go. One of them showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine, being sent out by the Spirit. Acts 15, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. There's a real partnership there. There's something that's happening. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. It's like us going into Cape Town and you say, the Holy Spirit forbid us to go there and there and there. Here we're going together. There we're going. Here we're not going. There we're going. We might always almost say it's on a next level. But for them it was just normal. Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified. Paul compelled by the Spirit to go over to Macedonia. And then Acts 20, the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city. There's a conversation. There's something happening. There's something going on. And even today, most of us have experienced something of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We experience something of the power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we sort of want to leave it there. We sort of want to, okay, this is what I need to go on with my life. I want to pray for this and this and this. And that should be okay for now. And I just want us to think about this a bit, because this is really what we do. And it's just so amazing that this is the one that Jesus said, it is good for me to go away, that the Holy Spirit can come and partner with you. And still we resist the Holy Spirit. Still we try to do things on our own. There's really, if we look at it, if we have church without the Holy Spirit, it will basically be a social club. Or it will be a great religious organization. Religious, we do what we want to do. If we take the Spirit away. No revelation without the Holy Spirit. No vision. No joy. No peace and no freedom. John Bevere says, one of his books, we know the scripture, the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And he said it's actually, where the Spirit is Lord, there's freedom. Where the Spirit is Lord, where He's in control, where we surrender to Him, there's freedom. Because there's a lot of places today, if we walk into, well, we can just walk out of this door and down some of the streets, and we will see places where there's no freedom. Because the Spirit is not Lord there. Not yet. So there's no freedom there. And just in my life, hey, I can remember my time before I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, before I had that moment of just giving over to God and say, hey, I can't figure everything out, but I want this. I want the Holy Spirit in my life. And I was very confused. I was not sure where I'm going, what I'm going to do with my life. I had so many things that I prayed over. I didn't understand everything in the Word. It was just a very difficult time, very frustrating time in my life. And you guys heard the story where I'm on the mountain, like to be on the mountain, and I just cried out. And after that, things just changed. It was just a different, everything was just different. It was life. There was things, the Word just, it broke open. I could see some things, I could experience things, and life was just different. It was just amazing. And unfortunately for me also, I always also came to a place where the gifts are so amazing, and you just try to figure out the ones that you want most, and then we relax. And you think, okay, but there's so much more to know. If you guys want to know Tien's better, you must run. Okay, it's serious, you must run. Then you can run with Tien's. Not many come back, but many start. Except Jockey, he comes back. So we're running together, and it's good, it's fun. But we're spending time together. At the end, we're running for many hours, we can talk about a lot of things. But also in that, you get to know each other a bit better. I can tell you about my wife, I can tell you many amazing things about her. She's got this ability that if I get a lot of ideas. So one of my ideas one day was to take a 4x4 and then to tow a caravan. I will come to you guys and say, hey, you want to go on holiday? I'll tow your caravan to the beach. I'll pitch your tent. You'll pay me a fee. You can have a nice holiday. You can go with your nice car. When you finish, you say, Yaku, come fetch my caravan. And I'll come and I pack up your tent and take you home. The caravan. I told her to leave. She said, that's stupid. Just like that. No conversation. Over. I said, okay, sorry. That's just thinking a bit loud. She's got this amazing ability just to bring the truth in a lot of nonsense. She's a great helper. It's a good balance. I need her. Else I'll just want to do a lot of stuff. So for me, it's always a good test. I just bring everything to Lee. And man, these days, sometimes she just said, it sounds good. No, it is really good. I must go for it. But that getting to know each other, that is in relationship. And if you want to experience that, you will have to spend time with Lee. You will have to bring all your plans and everything. And she can tell you yes or no. Easy. Okay? It's just not going to just happen. And the same, we want to understand the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. We just want to know without spending time with Him. Without understanding that the Holy Spirit is also a person. Part of the Godhead, part of the Trinity, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, both a different role. And we want to take, I just want to take that and that. And we think we can figure it out, just loosely, without any more conversation, without any more relationship. A.W. Tozer, he says, the Holy Spirit is not enthusiasm, He is a person. Put that down in capital letters, that the Holy Spirit is not only a being having another mode of existence, but He Himself is a person. With all the qualities and powers of personality, He is not matter, but He is substance. The Holy Spirit has will and intelligence and feeling and knowledge and sympathy and ability to laugh and see and think and hear and speak and desire the same as any person has. We often claim the Holy Spirit just to be the power of God. Often, yeah, that's just the power of God. Some mystical thing that I can't really explain it. But if we think like that, it's so easy to go into spiritual pride. So I've got this figured out. This is the power thingy. And then it's just immediately there's some pride coming up. But if we see Him as infinite in majesty, glory, splendor, wisdom, knowledge, and holiness, as a person, and who He really is, then we will fall on our faces in awe of God, in awe of the Holy Spirit, in awe of who He is. And not just try to almost use Him for the gifts. Someone who sees God's Spirit as an influence or just in power will just say, I want more of the Spirit. But if we see Him as a wonderful person, we will say, how can I give more of myself to Him? How can I give more of myself to Him? And these are the things that we must think about tonight, because we need to reference this to the Spirit of God, not just for His power, but we need to bring a honor and a reverence and an awe to the Holy Spirit. It's also God. Another quote from Tozer. All that the Son is, the Holy Spirit is. All that the Father is, the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is in His church. What will you find Him to be like? He will be exactly like Jesus. You've read your New Testament, you know what Jesus is like. And the Holy Spirit is exactly like Jesus. For Jesus was God, and the Spirit is God. And the Father is exactly like the Son, and you can know what Jesus is like by knowing what the Father is like. You can know what the Spirit is like by knowing what Jesus is like. You can know this one by that one, that one. This one. All one. All God. The Almighty God. Just quickly, if you look at Jesus' life, he was also dependent upon the Spirit. He was also working on earth in connection with the Spirit. He also received the Spirit when he was baptized. He was led by the Spirit. He moved in the power of the Spirit. And he taught by the Spirit. And John 14, Jesus is speaking. He says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it can neither see him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And this, it just starts off with love. That if you love me, if you want that relationship, if you want more. And then there's that word, another helper. Another, the word there, if we're going to look at the original, it is of the same kind as me. Where Jesus is saying, "I will send you another helper of the same kind." The Holy Spirit. The same kind as Jesus, God. And just that helper, that parakletos, it almost referred to a life coach. If I can very paraphrase it. A helper, someone that comes alongside us. Because we all want to figure out life. We all want to know things. The exact things that we want to do on our own, what we want to figure out on our own. And there's this helper that he wants to give us life. He wants to help us. He wants to show us the way. So it's so funny that we try to do it on our own. The parakletos, this the para, the first part, it means very close. It's a very close relationship. And then just to, the rest of the word is to call, where Paul says, "I am called an apostle to the Gentiles." It's almost linked to his calling, what he wants to become. And that is what the Holy Spirit just came to do for us, to link, to come alongside us, and to help us. But obviously the Holy Spirit is almost the most ignored part of the Trinity. We talk a lot about God, a lot about Jesus, and we try, and then there's the Holy Spirit. And like I said, this doesn't really fit into our box. Sometimes we like to understand it, to logically work it out. Often what I hear, when we talk about the Spirit, we will say the biggest, well, almost block, is I want to figure it out with my mind. I want to understand everything before I submit. That is a very dangerous place to be. If we think about it, we want to figure out God before we submit to God. And that's what they offer. I said the same thing. That was my biggest struggle. Before I submit, before I surrender to the Holy Spirit, I said, Koenraad Beyers, he's Visser. I was sitting there, and I said, "Man, this is just too difficult for me to understand. Just give me a moment. I must just think about this. I must just work it out. I'm going to figure it out." And then I realized, okay, no. Afrikaans, you say, you're in your chops, Belsies. You can't figure it out. There's no way. I want to figure out my Creator. I want to figure out the one that created me. And just how does it look to partner with the Holy Spirit? Because we know He's a person, He's God. There's a reverence that we need to have. But how does it look like to really partner? And Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he said, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Some translations, like the Message Bible, will say the communion with the Holy Spirit. So there's there's a fellowship where there's a very close relationship where the Holy Spirit is the one that's right with us, each one of us. You can walk with Him in every situation. He's the one that knows everything about us. He's the one that wants the best for us. He's fully aware of our troubles, our challenges, our issues, our sins, everything. And He's the one that's walking. That's the fellowship. Then there's a communion. There's a walking together. There's a partnership. Where Acts 15, verse 28, the apostles were writing a letter. And they said, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So there's definitely a partnership there. After spending time with the Lord or in prayer, you're almost like the Holy Spirit prompts me. There's a conviction that this is what I want to do. I also want to do that. A partnership. For we are God's fellow workers. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Fellow workers. Sometimes some people talk about the Holy Spirit as really the finger of God. The one that through which things are happening on earth. The one that's making things happen. So if we are God's fellow workers, it means like we're coming alongside the Holy Spirit and we're working together. And you see that this is a different take on just, those are the gifts that I want. This, there's someone sick, so I want that one. And there's that one. And now I'm gonna do it. And I'm going to go. Where there's a reverence and an awe for who God is. Understanding the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus. It's not my spiel, Mikey. It's not just a friend that I can just do stuff with. And that's the challenge. And really to understand who we are, we will only understand that when we spend time with God. To really understand who we are, what are we here for, that we will find in our partnership with the Holy Spirit. That's where you will find your true identity. That's where you will find your true calling. That's where we will find our place. In the church, in life, everything. As we spend time with the Holy Spirit. As we spend time with God. So there's no other way to beat around the bush, to try some things, to think, I'm going to work this out, I'm just going to do my thing, and whenever necessary, I'm going to call on God to help me with a few things, and then I'm sorted again, and then I can go on. There's an ongoing partnership. There's an ongoing reverence for God and His Spirit. And we're going to play you a song. I want you to just look at the words. Because just before they continue, just a last note that, because so often we want to make our own plans. So often we think, hey, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to live. This is my next step. It's almost like that man in the beginning that he said his crops were a lot, and he started building his things, and he built his storehouses, and he said to his soul, I'm okay now. I've got this sorted. I've got this figured out. And then in that night, things changed. Where Proverbs 19 verse 21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, which is really the purpose of God, the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And as we listen to this song, there's really the invitation is there to partner with God so that we can find life, so that we can realize who we are. Amen. Can we just stand? I just want to tonight, is the invitation is there really to partner with the Holy Spirit. And really just the last verse, two verses that I want to read for us. Romans 8 verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. We are being set free. We are set free from those things that really are holding on to us, our struggles. And there's a freedom that comes when we surrender to the Spirit of God. There's a freedom that comes when we surrender to God, when we give over to God. That's the invitation tonight. Romans 8 verse 11 says, it stands to reason from the Message Bible, doesn't it? That if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, He'll do the same thing in you that He did in Jesus, bringing you alive to Himself. When God lives and breathes in you, you are delivered from the dead life. With His Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ. And Father, tonight, God, it's our desire, Lord, just to that our understanding of who You are, Lord, it will just expand. I just pray for an increase, Lord. We can't figure You out, Lord. Lord, I pray that we will see your role, Lord, as our helper. And help us not to limit Your presence, Lord. Help us to not to limit Your through what we do, what we believe. Help us to surrender to You, God. Tonight, as we're going to worship, I really pray that we will just use the opportunity to really surrender to God. Maybe you've also in your life you've come a long way and maybe you're happy with where you are, how things are going. But I want to say there's so much more. There's so much more. Maybe tonight you are here and you just want to make a commitment. You just want to say, Lord, I just want a taste of Your goodness. I'm really battling. I'm really struggling. Then the invitation is there. Please come to the front. Please let us pray together. That we can do business and we can step into a new realm, into something new. A new partnership with God. So while we worship, just respond. Just respond to what God is doing in your life. And then we can pray together.